This week's parsha is Parshas Vayishlach, and the shiur is on the double naming of Yaakov in the parsha. So we'll start with source number one, which is Bereishis Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chaf Ches and Chaf Tes. Vayomer Lav Mashemecha, Vayomer Yaakov. So Yaakov had this big fight with the angel, with the Malach, who the Midrashim say was the Sar Shel Esav. And at the very end of the fight, when Yaakov had won, the Malach asked Yaakov, "What's your name?" And Yaakov says, "My name is Yaakov." Vayomer lo Yaakov yamer ochimcha ki Yisrael ki sarisa im Elokim ve'im anashim vatuchal. And the Malach says to Yaakov that your name will no longer be said as Yaakov, but it should be Yisrael, because you were successful. Sarisa comes from Sar. You were successful. You're an officer and successful with God in battling this Malach and with humans. And Vatuchal, and again, you were successful. You succeeded at defeating them. So the Malach is the first instance of naming Yaakov a different name, Yisrael. And what's interesting is in the Pasuk, Chav Ches, the Malach asks Yaakov what his name is. And it's kind of strange, because you would think that the Malach would know this information. Hashem is sending the Malach to fight with Yaakov. So why did the Malach ask Yaakov what his name was? So Radak picks up on this, and in source number two, Radak on this pasuk on Chav Ches says, "Vayomer Mashemecha, Hasheila lefsichas hadvarim." So the purpose of this question was to engage Yaakov in speech. Kimo Ayeka, and there's another example of this in Bereishis when Hashem says to Adam, "Ayeka, where are you?" Ma zebiadecha. Also by Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says to Moshe, "What's in your hands?" Hadomim lahem, and there are similar cases. Ki yadua ki yodea haya mashimo kevan shesholeach elav. Of course, the Malach knew his name because he had been sent to him by Hashem. The Radak explains that this is a common practice, that Hashem or a Malach doesn't just say things; they don't just tell things to the person they're engaged with, but they want to involve or engage with them in discussion. So they open it up for the person to answer. And they ask a question that's clearly going to allow the person to begin discussion, to begin talking. The only interesting thing is the other cases, let's go through them. They're a little bit different than our case. So one case that the Radak quotes is from Bereishis. In source number three, it's Bereishis Gimel Perek Tes. It says, "Vayikra Hashem Elokim El Ha'adam, Vayomer Lo Ayeka." So after Adam and Chava had eaten from the tree, from the Eitz Hadas, they ran away. And they were hiding, and Hashem approaches Adam, and he says, "Ayeka, where are you?" And the Radak says over there, "Vayikra Ayeka, Amar Kein Lefsichas Devarim." And he explains over there, it's the same concept, so he's consistent. And he says, it's all about Psichas Devarim, to get Adam to start talking. Kemo Ehevel Achicha Mazeb Yadecha. And then he quotes another source that he doesn't earlier on, which is by Hevel, and also by Moshe Rabbeinu, Mazeb Yadecha. So the Radak is consistent in this concept of Psichas Devarim. And he gives us two other cases. So let's look at the other cases. Vayomer Hashem El Kayin, Ehevel Achicha, Vayomer Liyadati, Hashomer Achi Anochi. So once again, Hashem approaches Kayin after he killed Hevel, and he says, "Where is Hevel?" Of course, Hashem knows where Hevel is, that Hevel's dead, but he asks Kayin to enunciate where exactly Hevel is. And the Radak says over there, Masha Amar Lo Ehevel Achicha, Hu Lipsichas Devarim. Again, he says the same Lashon, that the purpose of it is in order to engage in conversation with Kayin. Kemosha Amar Lo Adam Ayeka, the Amar Lo Moshe Rabbeinu, Mazda Biyadecha, V'hadomim Lohem. And there's a lot of similar cases. Uma Shehjivu Kayin Liyadati, B'pnei Histafko Adayin B'yadiyas Habore B'einenu B'nei Adam, B'inane, sorry, B'nei Adam, L'fisha Amar Lo. The reason why Kayin wasn't honest, and he didn't say, and he didn't say, "I know where he is," because he wasn't sure if Hashem was aware of the particulars of Adam, like Lefisha Amarlo, because he said to him, he asked him, "Where is your brother?" So we see a bunch of cases where the purpose of the question isn't for the knowledge of the questioner by the Malach and Hashem, but rather it's in order to engage the individual who's being asked the question in conversation, to allow them to start speaking. Psichas Devarim. So the one other case that's quoted is from Moshe. It says, "Vayan Moshe vayomer v'hein lo yaminu li v'lo yishmu b'koli ki yomru lo nira yilach Hashem." So this is Shmos Dalid, Pasuk Aleph and Beis. And Moshe, he's given the task of leading Klal Yisrael. to out of Mitzrayim and to Eretz Yisrael. And he says to Hashem, they're not going to believe me and they're not going to listen to me because they're not going to, they're going to say Hashem never appeared to you. Vayomer Elav Hashem, Mazeh Biyadecha, Vayomer Mateh. And Hashem says, what's in your hand? And of course, Hashem knows what's in Moshe's hands, and he answers that it's a stick. And Rashi over there says, interestingly, Mazeh Biyadecha, L'chach Nichtav Teva Achas. So Mazeh, the word Mazeh, is really written as one, and the question is why? Lidrosh, to learn out something. Mazeh Shebi Yadecha Ata Chayev L'lakos Shechashadta Bechsherim. So that which is in your hand, you're really chayev to be hit with, because you're a choshed b'chsherim. You're a choshed that Klal Yisrael wouldn't listen to you, and that was really a flaw of Moshe. So the mazeh is showing us that Moshe had this flaw. So there's one common theme in all these cases that doesn't seem to fit with our case. All the cases mentioned by the Radak seem to be cases where there was a flaw, chait involved, and tshuva was necessary. And if we look back, think back to the Adam case. So Adam and Chava had just violated the prohibition of eating from the tree. And Hashem in there says, Ayeka, where are you? And the purpose of that, it seems to be, is to do tshuva, to help them do tshuva, to assist them. And part of tshuva is psichas devarim, is really figuring it out on your own and really acknowledging yourself that you did something wrong, not somebody telling you that you did something wrong. And same thing with Cain and Hevel. So Cain had killed Hevel. And now he had to do tshuva. So Hashem was asking him in a way which would allow him to start talking and to acknowledge and to admit to the fact that he did something wrong. And by Moshe Rabbeinu as well. It was also psichas devarim. And Moshe had flawed. He had a sin over there because he assumed that Klal Yisrael wouldn't believe him. And the truth is they did believe him, or they would believe him. And he was wrong to assume that. The question is over here, how does it fit in? All the cases that the Radak mentions, whether it be our Radak or the Radak by Adam, all the cases are cases where there was tshuva. There was a chait and tshuva. But here there was no chait on the part of Yaakov, and there was no tshuva. So how does it make sense? How is the psichas devarim, or why was it necessary in our situation? I understand that it was necessary in order to help or assist the other individuals in the cases mentioned to do tshuva. But here, what's the purpose of it? Why ask Yaakov, Mashemecha, what's your name, in order to have him start the conversation, engage in words, when it's not necessary? There was no chait here. Yaakov did nothing wrong. If anything, he was successful here. So what exactly is going on? So I think the answer lies in the idea of tshuva. So there's an essential idea of tshuva, which is that, or what is tshuva? We're supposed to correct our flaw. We're supposed to acknowledge our chait, and try to figure out what the cause was, work on ourselves, and decide never to do that again. But part of tshuva is also transforming yourself. There's a metamorphosis in tshuva of becoming a new type of person with a new relationship to God. And in fact, the Rambam mentions this in a slight way, but as part of Darchei tshuva, one of the paths of tshuva, or the way to do tshuva, is the Rambam says in Tshuva Beis Dalet, is Midarchei tshuva liyos hashav tzoik tamid lifnei Hashem. The person is supposed to cry all the time and daven, and you're also supposed to give tzedakah, and make sure that you distance yourself from the chait, and you're also supposed to change your name, that I'm somebody else and I'm not the same person that did those flaws, that did those chataim. You're also supposed to change your actions, and you're also supposed to, galus is necessary, shegalus mechaperes avon, mipnei shegaremes lo lihikana v'lios anav v'shval ruach, because it causes you to be humble and also to have a lowly of spirit. So we see that part of tshuva is becoming a new person, is assuming a new role, an ish chadash, an isha chadasha, assuming a new role as a person and transforming yourself into a new person, one that wasn't the same person that did the chait. So now we can come back to our case, the case of Yaakov, and try to understand it to a little bit of a deeper level or a deeper degree and analyze it. So I think the answer to our question originally is that really Yaakov was undergoing the same type of transformation, a similar type of transformation as one done in tshuva. And the raya, the proof is from the fact that his name was changed to Yisrael. And Rashi says that it means sar. It means to become an officer. So one of the ideas of this fight with the Malach was to transform Yaakov and understand that now he was a leader and he was a ruler and he had to assume a new role. And the only way a person can assume a new role is if they initiate it themselves. If somebody tells you to be somebody else, you can't really embrace that. It's virtually impossible. You have to want it. You have to will it yourself. And that's the chiddush over here of Psichas Devarim. The Malach, he was trying to engage Yaakov so that Yaakov would want it himself. He would want to change, assume this new role. And we see from the name change that he was able to do that. He was able to assume a new role. So let's move on. So again, we see this concept. The Radak mentions the idea of the name in source number 11. 10 is Vayomer lo Yaakov Yamer Ochim Chakim Yisrael Ki Sarisa Melekim Bimanashim Vatuchal. And the Radak points out on that pasuk Chav Tes that Besura Hisha Basura Kadosh Baruch Hu Yikra Shemo Yisrael V'chein Asa Beveisel L'fichach Amar Sham Vayikra Shemo Yisrael V'lo Amar Kain Hena Aval Tam Hashem Gila Lo Zeh Hamalach. So the Radak says something interesting. I pointed out in the beginning of this year that Yaakov was named twice. So this was the first naming, but really that wasn't really the goal over here to name him such. The reasoning was given here, but the name itself was given later on by Hashem, when Hashem names him later on. And it says, Kisarisa Melokim im Malach Shenevakta imi v'leyacholti lach lapilcha. So the idea of Elohim is that Yaakov had succeeded against this Malach of Esav, and he wasn't defeated. And v'im anashim im Lavan v'im Esav shaya b'libam l'hara l'cha v'lo yachlu lach. And the same thing with Esav and Lavan. You were successful, you will be successful against Esav, and therefore you should assume this new role of being a leader, of being a sar. So interestingly enough, there's another concept that supports this. And the second naming. So the second naming occurs later on in the Parsha, number 12, Breishis Lamed Hei, Pasuk Tes and Yud. This is after the story of Dina, and after it says that Devora, the Meinekes Rivka, had died, and they say that means Rivka herself had died. It says, Vayera Lokim El Yaakov Od Bivo Mipadan Aram Baivarach Oso. Hashem appeared to Yaakov again when he came to Padan Aram, and he blessed him. Vayomer lo Elokim Shimcha Yaakov lo Yikarei Shimcha Od Yaakov Kim Yisrael Yeshemecha Vayikra Shemo Yisrael. So again, we see the same concept that Hashem, instead of the Malach, is naming him Yisrael. So what was the need for this? Why is it that there was this distinction between the Malach giving him the reasoning behind the name and Hashem actually naming him? Why do we have both? Why don't we just have one? Why do we need both situations mentioned in this week's Parsha? So the Ramban over there says, interestingly, on Shimcha Yaakov, Ya'amer ki odcha ata nikra Yaakov, afal pi shehechlef shemo saro shel Esav. You're still going to be called Yaakov until this point, until the second Nevuah, even though the sar shel Esav changed your name. Ki hu lo nishtaleach l'cha l'hachlef eshemecha. He wasn't sent to change your name. So the goal of the Malach coming to fight with Yaakov had nothing to do with the outcome of changing his name. From now, lo yikare shemcha Yaakov kim Yisrael yeshmecha. However, the essential name changing occurred the second time in Lamed Hey in our parsha. V'zeh tam v'yikare shemo Yisrael, and that's why it says he called him Yisrael. O yirmo shekara shemo Yisrael musaf al Yaakov lo shi yaser liyikare Yaakov. And another remez is that he's called Yisrael, but it doesn't mean that you're not allowed to call Yaakov Yaakov. It's an extra name on top of that. So we see something interesting. The Ramban says on the Pasuk in Perek Lamed Hei that really the purpose of the Malach fighting Yaakov was not to change his name, but rather it was really just to fight Yaakov. But yet he still did change his name, or he gave him the reasoning behind changing his name. So the question is why? Why did that happen? So I think that Rashi really shows us what was happening over there and really highlights the point I was making earlier in the idea of the Shir. Rashi says on Chav Tes, Lamed Beis Chav Tes, which is earlier, Lo Yaakov Yamer Ochimcha, Lo Yomra Lecha Ocha Brachos Akiva over Amiya. People won't say anymore that you stole the brachos, that you did it in a suspicious manner. Ki im Besrara of the Guloi Panim. It's going to be open and with authority. So Chasha Kadosh Baruch Hu Nigla Lecha Beveis Kel Umachlif Eshemecha V'Sham Hu Mevarchecha. And eventually Hashem will change your name, and that's where he'll bless you, and you'll know that. Vani sham eyev odel chalehan. And the Malach says, I'm going to be there, and I'm going to agree to it. Vezeu shekasev vayashar el Malach vayuchal b'cho. Says that the Malach was crying. Hamalach vayischanen lo, and he begged him. Uman ischanen lo, what did he beg him for? Beis el yimtzenu v'sham yidaber imanu. Because the Malach said that Yaakov was going to find out what his name was in Beis El. Hamtin li achetaber imanu sham. Just wait till I tell you what's going to happen there. Wait till the Malach was saying to Yaakov, what are you begging me for and asking me for your name? I'll tell you in Beis El. V'lo ratza Yaakov. He didn't want it. V'al korcho hoda lo aleha. And he forced him to say it. V'zehu v'yivarech so sham. Shehaya mischanin lo lahamtin v'lo ratza. The Malach was begging Yaakov to wait and to stop forcing him to release the information, but Yaakov didn't want to. So what does this show us about Yaakov? Again, I think that this goes back to the concepts before, which is that Yaakov was demonstrating a will, a desire to change his nature, to become this tsar. And that's why Tzichas Devarim makes so much sense over there. It's showing us that in order for Yaakov to assume a new role, he had to will it himself. He had to want it himself. It couldn't be that somebody assigned him a new role, the Malach or Hashem, and rather he wanted it. He had to have the desire to change, and only then could he really assume and really take on this new role as the Srara, as an authority. And so I believe that that really fits into the concept, this Rashi, that really he forced the Malach to give him his name. It's showing you that Yaakov really wanted it. He really wanted the concept, or he really wanted to change his identity, to assume this new role. And then later on, it was confirmed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was real, a reality, and that was accepted. But Yaakov had this natural, innate desire to become that. There's another approach that comes from Rav Avraham ben Arambam on why there was a second naming. And the approach is from Vayomer Lo Elokim, Chizuk v'ishor l'mashe kadam v'nivu'aso b'ma'avar yabok. He says that it's really a chizuk, it's a strengthening and a permission, and l'masha kadam b'nivuaso b'ma'avar yabok, to that which occurred. So it was almost like a secondary method of confirming that which occurred already. So the question is, according to Rav Avram ben Arambam, why was that necessary? Why was it important to do that, to strengthen what was said before? So perhaps there's another approach, and it goes back to the story of right before the second naming of Dina, and of course Levi and Shimon, Shimon and Levi. And the story is that Dina was kidnapped and she was raped, and Shimon and Levi, they devised a plan to destroy the rapist and also the whole city, and they had them do bris milah, if you're not familiar with the story, and then on the third day they went in and they completely destroyed the whole city. And that occurred right before Yaakov ended up getting his name changed. And it says over there in 16, Bereishis Lamed Daled, in our parsha, Vayomer Yaakov el Shimon ve'el Levi achartem osi lahavishenu b'yoshev ha'aretz ba'aknani u'va'priziv ani mesei misbar v'nesu alai v'yikuni v'nishmati ani u'vesi. So Yaakov is very, very scared at that point, and he says to Shimon and Levi, you really shouldn't have done what you've done because of the fact that you put us at risk as a nation, as a family. Now all the other nations are going to be watching and have seen what we did to Shechem and Hamor, and the whole area of Shechem, and they're going to want to kill us, and we're not going to be prepared to fight them. And Rashi says, "Achartem osi mayim achkurim, ein daiti tzlu l'achshav." My mind is really anxious. It's not really clear, and it's dirty, like dirty water. So why did you do this? And he's arguing with Shimon and Levi, and their response is that really, "Vayomru hachsona yases achosenu." So they say back, "Is it appropriate that our daughter be treated like a prostitute?" So what is that response on their part? So Rav Avram ben Arambam says, "Vayomer achzona klomar im zemi mashnis apek bo v'lo nisbol avuro es sakana asher tamis yare shetisrachish." Was it not worth it? Is it not something that's worthwhile to take the risk in order to be in danger to save our sister because she was really raped, and really it's inappropriate for us to just leave her there? So that's their response to Yaakov, and there's nothing further in the Torah, so it's not clear what happened after that. But their response seems to be a good response, and in fact, Rav Avram ben Arambam explains as he moves forward that really it was appropriate for them, min ad-din, to get her back because she was raped, and she was being treated inappropriately, And therefore, they lied. They said that we want her to be my wife. Shechem said that. I want her to be my wife. But really, they had kidnapped her and they had stolen her and raped her. So the brothers, Shimon and Levi, are saying we were justified. And they were justified halachically. That's why they weren't killed. And the Mefarshim say that really it was one of the misos of a Ben Noach. They were chayv misa. And all of them were because they allowed it to happen in the whole city. And that's why it was justified halachically for them to kill the whole entire city. But in this exchange between Yaakov and Shimon and Levi, it seems like Yaakov was nervous somewhat, and he had an irrational fear. And in fact, the Torah seems to say that Shimon and Levi's argument of Vayom Ruach Zona was legit, and they had a legitimate argument as to why they should have done what they had done. And we see that later on, in source number 19, Breishis Lamed Hey Pasuk Hey Vayiso Vayhi Chitas Elokim Al HaArim Asher Sivosehem Lo Ratfu Acharei Bnei Yaakov. That after the story, there was a hashgacha that they wouldn't be destroyed, that Klal Yisrael would be safe and would be protected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chitas Elokim, Rashi says, is Pachad Elokim. There was a fear of God, and that's why they weren't destroyed. They weren't fought. So we see that there was a fear that Yaakov had, and it was somewhat justified, but also it was somewhat inappropriate. And Shimon and Levi are saying to him that we should have taken this risk, that this risk was justified in saving our sister, because you're Yisrael, you're not Yaakov, you're Yisrael, and a leader, a sror, an authority is supposed to save, protect their family, protect Dina from being desecrated. So their argument was a good argument, and in fact, later on, when Yaakov really he's giving the brachos and the klalos, well, they're really all brachos at the end in Parshas Vayechi, at the end of Bereishis, he does mention some negative things about Shimon and Levi. And one of those things is, Bisodam al tavdou nafshi bikalam al tichakbo di ki v'apam haragu ish uvir tonam ikru shor. So he criticizes them for what happened by Dina. But the Radak says, Bisodam kishin stiatsu v'nekalu b'ma'asa shechem l'ba nafshi imahem v'lo b'atsasi asu masha asu v'chafal inyan b'milas shonos. So really the criticism, according to the Radak, wasn't that they killed the city of Shechem, but it was that they failed to speak to Yaakov about their opinion and what their approach was before they did it. And it was them giving or doing something or acting on the part of the family without consulting with Yaakov. So this whole story all the psukim, they seem to point to one idea, which is that Yaakov really did have a fear that wasn't justified. It was somewhat irrational. And the brothers pointed it out, Shimon and Levi, and their argument against him was actually a good argument, and they're not criticized for it, at least by the Torah, by Hashem. However, what their criticism was, wasn't that they did what they did. The criticism later on in Vayechi was that they failed to consult with Yaakov, the father, their father, in how they acted. So now it makes sense why there was a necessity, according to Rav Avram ben Arambam, for a second naming. The reason there was a necessity for this is because Yaakov did have this fear, this irrational fear. It came back to the name of Yaakov, the idea of being suspicious and Beremiah and not standing up and being an authority. And Shimon and Levi were saying to him, you have to be an authority. And that's why perhaps he needed this naming again in order to be mechazek what had happened before, that Yaakov should know that he has to act, he has to take on this role of being a sar, of being Yisrael and not Yaakov. And although, again, Shimon and Levi were criticized, they weren't criticized for their argument against Yaakov. They were correct that Yaakov should have acted differently. The way in which they went about it was the criticism, that they shouldn't have done it without consulting with Yaakov first, according to the Radak. And I think that's why it makes sense. There was a need in the Torah to name him twice. One was in the story of the Malach, according to Rav Avraham ben Arambam, the story of the Malach, and how Yaakov had succeeded in defeating the Malach in this fight, in this battle. But he needed a chizuk at a certain point because it hadn't had the strongest effect on him. And after the story of Dina, that was when it was especially important to be mechazik him and to show him that you have to really take on the role of being Yisrael and not Yaakov anymore. Okay, so that's the shir. Let me just summarize the points here. The question that we started with is, why was Yaakov named twice, once by the Malach and once in Beit El later on in the Parsha? But before that, the Malach, interestingly enough, asks Mashemecha, what's your name? And Yaakov says, my name is Yaakov. So why didn't he know his name? Of course he knew his name. And the Radak points out, psichas devarim. It's in order that Yaakov start talking and to engage him in conversation. And he also mentions there are other places where that happens. Ayeka is one. And that's where Hashem found Adam after the Chit, and he says, where are you? By Cain after he killed Hevel. Also by Moshe Rabbeinu. That's another situation where he says, Mazeh biyadecha, what's in your hand? Of course, he knew that it was a matah. And Rashi points out over there that Moshe had sinned over there because he assumed that Klal Yisrael wouldn't believe him. So it seems like those cases aren't similar to our case, because all those cases are cases where there's a chait. And as a result of the chait, they had to do tshuva. And tshuva requires psichas dvarim, that they be engaged in it. They want it. They will it in order to do tshuva. But that doesn't make sense over here by Yaakov. Yaakov didn't have to do tshuva here. So what exactly is the psichas dvarim? So I think it falls on the idea of tshuva. One concept in tshuva is to change your identity, to be a new person. And that's reflected in the Darchei Tshuva the Rama mentions. And here too, Yaakov had the same imperative. He had to become a new person in order to face Esav, in order to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. He had to be a new person. And the only way one can become somebody else, or at least a new person, and transform yourself and create new relationships, is if you do it with your own accord, with your own will, from your own will. You can't do it if somebody tells you to be somebody else. It's just not going to take. And that was the point of Psichas Dvarim, to get Yaakov to want to assume this role of Yisrael. And we see this again in the naming of Yaakov. The Rashi points out a Medrash that says, and the Ramban also highlights that the purpose of the Malach wasn't to change his name. So then why did he do it? And Rashi says that Yaakov was struggling with the Malach and he refused to let the Malach go until he found out what this name was. So what does that show us? It's not about the practical name, but it's about Yaakov's desire. He had a strong desire to assume a new role. And that just goes back to the idea of Psichas Devarim, of getting Yaakov and figuring out and finding out that Yaakov himself had this desire to become a new person. And the second concept was based on Rav Avram ben Arambam, which is, it's a chizuk, it's a strengthening of the first naming. So why was that necessary? So I think it goes back to the story of Dina and how Shimon and Levi had destroyed the whole city. At the very end, Yaakov criticizes them and says that now we're in danger. And their response is, no, it would be inappropriate for us to not take this risk and to let our sister be taken advantage of in this way. And their argument is a good argument. And perhaps that's the reason why he needed to be named again, because he was expressing a certain insecurity, an irrational insecurity, something that really he shouldn't have felt being Yisrael. And that's why it was necessary for Hashem to appear to him. And in fact, we see this by the fact that they weren't criticized for what they did. They were justified halachically. They were criticized for not consulting with Yaakov. They were criticized for acting without talking it out with Yaakov and mentioning their points to Yaakov beforehand. So I think that explains the whole area of why Yaakov had to be named in two different places in the Parsha. All right, have a good Shabbos.